Matthew chapter 11. I wanted to look at this passage of Scripture again tonight. It's been many years since we've looked at it. I wanted to look at it again tonight from a little bit different of an angle and a perspective, but really kind of piggybacking off of the message this morning. Because as we're thinking about this idea of striving together, you may be like me and you may be thinking, that sounds like a whole lot of work and I'm tired enough as it is. And here we are, pastor's going to be going on about how we need to be doing more and more and more and more and more in this coming year. And listen, I understand that. I get that sentiment. Because I know that life often seems to be a series of busy seasons of life, followed by more seasons that are more or less busy as it is, but it just seems like life is constant activity. I think it's especially bad in our modern culture and with modern families, to the point that really the only word that comes to mind to accurately describe the busyness that we have become accustomed to is the word exhausting. It's just tiresome. As Christians even, we're often burning the candle at both ends and in the middle, as they say. And it is a real danger that if we're not careful, we could burn out. So what's the answer? Can we just stop everything and live a life of leisure? I don't know about you, but I can't afford to do that. But more importantly, it wouldn't be right for us to do that. God doesn't want us to just sit around on our hands all day doing nothing. So how are we to accomplish the work that God has for us to do and yet stay rested and refreshed so that we can give our 100% best effort to God? I believe the answer to that is found here in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Tonight I'd like to talk to you about the light burden and the easy yoke that Jesus offers us. In verse 28, Jesus sends out an invitation to all to come to Him and find rest. The explanation of that rest is given in verse number 29, and then in verse 30, we find the relaxation that comes when we accept Jesus' invitation. The truth is, we can stay busy and be rested at the same time. If we accept Jesus' invitation to come to Him for rest, learn from Him, and like He did, serve with meekness and humility. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, life is so busy, and oftentimes we find it difficult to maintain balance and to know when to stop. And many times our priorities are out of line, and even our motivation can be wrong for what we're doing and why we're doing it. So Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight as we consider these words of our Savior, to take an honest look at our lives, to know whether or not we are serving You in the right way, or whether we're serving in the power of the flesh. That, Lord, we might give You 100% of our best effort all the time and all the while enjoy the rest that that brings to our soul. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, the invitation to rest that Jesus gives in verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Notice, first of all, to whom Jesus gave this invitation. The invitation is, come and I'll give you rest. But he's addressing people who are those who are laboring and are heavy laden. In other words, these are people who are carrying heavy burdens. I suppose when we think about burdens, we could talk about any number of burdens that we might be carrying at any given time. I mean, there's all sorts of things in life that press in on us, that weigh us down, that we might describe as a burden. There's emotional things, there's physical things like health, there's financial burdens that we bear, there's relational burdens, and there's even spiritual burdens that we carry around. And all of these burdens added up can become very heavy on us. But as we look at what Jesus was saying here, I believe that there was one particular kind of burden that Jesus was addressing specifically. And it was a spiritual burden that you and I were never designed to carry. Keep your place in Matthew 11 and turn a few chapters over to chapter 23. Here's a passage where Jesus used very similar language to this, and I think gives us a window to understand what Jesus was referring to specifically in Matthew chapter 11, the laboring and the heavy burden that Jesus offers to relieve us of. Matthew 23, verse 3 is where we'll look at here. He says, "All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Now Jesus is talking about the scribes and Pharisees, but addressing the multitude, he says, what they tell you to do, do it, because in the context they're teaching the law of God, they're teaching the word of God. But he says, don't follow their example, because they say and do not. Verse 4, notice this, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." What was the burden that the Pharisees would lay upon others that they themselves were notorious for? It was the burden of self-righteousness. The burden of self-righteousness. The idea that you can and therefore you must earn God's approval. That by your own good deeds, by your own works, you can make yourself righteous. That was the burden that the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' day were notorious for teaching and for laying on other men's shoulders. They themselves, in some ways, would demonstrate this with their strictness in certain areas, but it was out of balance. It was hypocritical because for them it was all about exterior, it was all about performance, and the heart didn't matter. Self-righteousness is a heavy burden because you can never be sure that you've done enough. You know, every false religion out there, and that is anything other than biblical Christianity, teaches that you can never really know for sure if you're saved. That is one of the hallmarks of biblical Christianity, is that you can have assurance of your salvation by grace through faith. Every other religious system says, well, you just got to do the best that you can, but you can't really know for sure in this life. In fact, some go so far as to say that if you say you know for sure, then you're actually surely lost. That it's a sin to say that you're sure that you're saved. And because of that, these systems, these religious systems, are systems that are exhausting, where you are just completely working yourself to death, trying to do enough, but never sure if you have. If by chance you do get to the point that you believe you've done enough to please God, it's because your conscience has been seared. Self-righteous service is exhausting. And so Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all of you people who think that you have to and you can earn God's approval through all your own efforts, come to me and I'll give you rest. You see, self-righteous service is exhausting, but on the other hand, grace-powered service is exhilarating. Look with me at another verse of Scripture, and this time in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Who is this addressed to? It's addressed to people who are carrying heavy burdens, specifically the burden of self-righteousness. The idea that we have to perform, that we have to achieve, that we have to earn God's favor. First Corinthians 15, Paul gives us an important antidote to the concept of self-righteous service. He says, verse 10, 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See, Paul understood that being a servant of God didn't mean that you just sat around and did nothing. It meant that you had to labor, and for his part, he said, I labored more abundantly. I put in more hours than anybody, but he included this very important caveat here. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul said, what I am and what I've done, I am and I have done it by the grace of God. You read his story and you learn about his life and you wonder how in the world did that man accomplish so much in a relatively short period of time. A couple of decades probably. And that's it. How did he do so much? Paul would have told you this, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. You see, those who are trying to labor, who are trying to serve, who are trying to save themselves in their own effort, are wearing themselves out. They're carrying a heavy burden that we were never designed to carry, that we cannot carry, that ultimately will crush us. Who was this invitation given to? It was given to those who carry heavy burdens. But what exactly is this invitation for? Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's talk about that idea of rest, because this is what Jesus invites us to receive from him. I don't know about you, but when I hear the word rest, immediately the first thing that pops into my mind is sleep. That's like the synonym for rest for me. But actually, the idea of rest is much broader than that. It can include sleep, but it doesn't have to. I like this one definition that I found of the word translated rest here. It means to cause to rest, to soothe, or to refresh. You ever been working outside, maybe doing some yard work on a hot summer day, and you're getting hot, you get sweaty, you get tired. And so maybe you go inside for a few minutes and you sit down and you get a glass of sweet tea. Maybe that's your refreshing beverage of choice. Maybe for some of you it's iced coffee. I don't know. Maybe there are a few in here you like yourself a Diet Coke. Blech. Whatever, that may be your drink of choice. But you sit down for a minute, you've been working hard, you're tired, and you sit down, and you have just a few minutes in the cool air and with a cool drink, and you just kind of pause, you catch your breath. And after a few minutes, you're refreshed, you're soothed, you're ready to get back up and get back to work and get the job done. That's the idea of the word rest here. It doesn't necessarily mean sleep, and it doesn't necessarily mean total inactivity. But what it does mean is a cause to refresh us. And understand that there is nothing wrong with craving rest. In fact, God designed us to need and to crave rest. It's built into our biology. God made it so that we get sleepy. And it's funny how accurate our body clock can be sometimes. It knows it's time to go to bed. Why is that? It's how God designed it to be. Even God himself rested. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." See, God rested, but God does not sleep. Psalm 121:4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber." God doesn't sleep, but he did rest. And if the Creator God of the universe, who is omnipotent, needs rest, or rather took rest, would be a more accurate way to say it, how much more do you and I need rest? Some people seem to think that the most spiritual thing that they can do is run themselves ragged by keeping busy doing everything that they can. Can I help you out a little bit? Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. I mean that, literally. Sometimes you just need to stop and let yourself rest. Sometimes by sleeping, maybe not by sleeping, but something to refresh you. Jesus said in Mark 6:31, he said unto them, "Come," this is speaking to his disciples, "come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Jesus commanded them to rest. "For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." It's not wrong to rest. In fact, true rest is an act of faith. Sometimes we refuse to rest because we think if we stop, all the world's going to fall apart. "Well, if I don't do this, it's not going to get done." Okay, maybe, maybe not. But will the world end if that thing doesn't get done exactly when you think it should get done? Probably not. You see, you have to trust God that things are going to be okay without you for a little while you rest. But many people are unwilling to do that. "No, I've got to do that. I've got to do this. I've got to be there. It all depends on me." No, it doesn't. It all depends on God. Now, you ought to be trustworthy. You ought to be faithful to the task God gives you. Yes. You should be dependable, absolutely. But at the end of the day, God does not need you or me to keep the world running. True rest is an act of faith, a willingness to step back for a minute and say, "God, I need the rest. You've commanded me to rest. No, there's a lot to do. And I'm just going to trust you that it's going to get done when it needs to get done, how it needs to get done, even if I'm not there to do it." I know that can be hard. If you're a specially driven person, maybe even harder for you. I want you to notice here how Jesus words this in verse number 28. He said, "I will give you rest." I will give you rest. That's an interesting expression. How do you give someone rest? Well, that is something that I believe only God can truly do. It's a gift that Jesus gives to us. But here's what I want you to think with me about. That means that it has to be received. It means that you have to be willing to accept the rest, to take it from him. And too often, we're not willing to do that. We're not willing to stop and receive the rest that Jesus offers. We just got to keep going and going and going and going and going. We're afraid of not being busy. So this is the invitation that Jesus gives. "Come to me, all you that labor. You're working so hard because you think that you've got to perform to please God. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest in exchange for the exhaustion of the pressure of performance." Jesus offers you rest. Now let's notice, secondly, now the explanation from verse 29. Back in our text, Matthew 11, verse 29, Jesus goes on to say, now he's offered this rest, and what follows is an explanation of what that looks like. He says, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Here's how you receive the rest. You take the yoke, you learn of him. For I am meek and lowly in heart, Jesus said, and you shall find rest unto your souls. When we take Jesus' yoke, when we learn from him how he was meek and lowly, that's when we find this rest that Jesus offers. We need to exchange the yoke of self-righteous, flesh-driven toil and labor for the meek and lowly humility of Jesus' service. In Matthew 23, Jesus described the burdens that the Pharisees laid upon people, that burden of self-righteousness as a heavy burden and grievous to be borne. It's a yoke that we cannot bear. Listen to Acts chapter 15, verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? It's talking about self-righteousness. Now, let me pause for just a minute here. Let's make sure we're on the same page of what a yoke is. Some of you might be thinking that slimy yellow stuff inside of an egg. It's not the kind of yoke that this is. That's Y-O-L-K. This is Y-O-K-E. This was a device that was used typically for two animals, maybe sometimes configured a little bit differently, but for two animals, they would put this device, a large piece of carved wood, often around their necks, and they would hook them together. They would be joined together, not so that they could hang out and have a good time, but so that they could then be attached to some kind of an implement and get a lot of work done. All right, that was called a yoke that they would be attached to so that they could get to work. So Jesus says, as he's explaining this rest, he says, take my yoke upon you. Wait a second. A yoke means hard work. A yoke means we've got a job to do. A yoke means we're going to be pulling, we're going to be plowing, we're going to be sweating, we're going to be breathing heavily. How is this going to be rest? How is taking the yoke of Jesus going to be restful? Well, again, we got to remember the contrast here. The yoke that they were currently wearing and that many are currently wearing is the yoke of self-righteousness. That burdensome implement of I have to perform in order to please God. And Jesus says, get rid of that and take my yoke instead. And then he says, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Here is the difference between the yoke of Jesus and the yoke of self-righteousness. Jesus' yoke was one of meekness. Jesus' yoke was one of humility. Jesus' yoke was one of grace-filled dependence on God. His yoke was not the yoke of self-righteousness. His yoke is a yoke that energizes rather than exhausts us. You think about the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a book some years ago on the topic of hurry. You know, we're always in a hurry, we're always in a hurry, we're always in a hurry. And it pointed out that nowhere in the gospel record does it say that Jesus hurried to go do this or that. Was Jesus ever in a hurry? I don't believe so. I believe he knew that he was always in the right place at the right time. And therefore, he didn't have to hurry. He didn't have to wear himself out, darting here, sprinting there, and running himself ragged. Did he get tired? Oh, sure. Was he busy? Absolutely. But he did it totally different than how we do. He did it like Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord and you'll renew your strength. But notice the verse then talks about a whole lot of activity, like running. Running is kind of a tiresome activity, isn't it? Brother Drew. Yeah. Walking even can be a very tiresome activity, and we're not even You know, we don't even know what it means to mount up with wings as eagles because we can't fly like that. But I imagine that eagle gets tired after a little while. You see, it's not a call to inactivity. It is a call to work like Jesus did. It's not an invitation to laziness. We're still hard workers, but it's from an entirely different perspective and motivation. We're not slothful in business. We're fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, not ourselves. Whatever we do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men, and that includes not unto ourselves. You see, Jesus was meek. He was lowly in heart. Whatever he did not do it for his own sake. He did it first and foremost for the sake of the Father, and secondly, for the sake of others. He was not self-serving, he was self-sacrificing. The most exhausting thing that you can do is to be self-serving. Wearing ourselves out, trying to please ourselves and make ourselves feel like we've done enough, to make ourselves feel like we have achieved, that we have arrived, it's exhausting. Jesus, on the other hand, willingly humbled himself to serve us. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He's crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That's what Jesus did. He didn't serve himself. He served us. When we're looking for praise for ourselves, we wear ourselves out trying to get people's attention. Hey, look at me, look at me, look what I'm doing. Trying to perform to please them and impress them with our achievements. Trying to hold their attention because, you know, that's pretty a fleeting thing. And the average attention span today is down to like, you know, 12 and a half milliseconds. I don't know. It's just, we live in a culture where everything is just, you know, quick flashes of this and that. It's hard to hold people's attention. And if that's what we're living for, if we're living for the attention of other people and the praise of other people, you're going to be exhausted. They may give you their attention for a moment, and they may give you a little clap and a pat on the back. Okay, great for you, but they're going to be quickly on to the next thing. And you're going to be wearing yourself out trying to please them and impress them. Again, in Matthew 23, this is what the Pharisees were known for. All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. What Jesus was talking about there is they would wear these boxes on their head that would have little pieces of scripture in them, little slips of paper with scripture written on it. It was called a phylactery. All right, this is what it was. And they would literally make their phylacteries bigger so they'd go around bragging about how my phylactery is bigger than your phylactery. Seems pretty silly, doesn't it? They would enlarge the borders of their garments. They would have these little tassels on their garments that would indicate their devotion to God. And so they would, you know, somebody came in one day and they had a 3-inch tassel, you know. And Mr. Pharisee number 2 said, well, I'm more spiritual than him. I'm going to get a 4-inch tassel on my garment, you know. And it was all about impressing others. They live to be seen of men. Jesus said, that is a heavy burden that you are not designed to carry. You will be exhausted. You will never be able to find rest if that's how you're living. Take my yoke upon you instead. Be meek and lowly. Be humble. It doesn't matter what they think about you. You do God's will and please Him. And whether they see it and whether they say anything about it is irrelevant. You humble yourself. You serve God. You be self-sacrificing like Jesus. You see, when you do what is right, simply because it's right and because it honors God, then it doesn't matter whether people praise you or not. It doesn't tire you out seeking their attention and their accolades. In fact, Jesus, in Luke 17, he told a short parable, and here was the sum of it. He said, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. What? You mean if I do everything God tells me to say, when I get done with that, I'm supposed to say, I'm unprofitable, I'm vain, I'm worthless, because I've only done that which is my duty to do? Yes. That would be a right attitude. Because it's not about me. It's not about getting done with the spiritual checklist and saying, woohoo, look how spiritual I am. No. It's about serving God. The rest that Jesus gives us is the refreshing satisfaction of the soul that comes from doing something truly worthwhile, from doing the will of God, and doing it for the right reason, for the glory of God. It's an ease of mind that takes the burden of performance off of you, knowing that it is God who works in you and through you to accomplish His will in your life. That's the rest that He offers, not inactivity, but this calmness and this peace and this refreshment that God is working in me. God is working through me. God is doing His will in my life. I don't have to perform. All I have to do is obey. Because the Bible says, faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. So that's the explanation. The rest that Jesus offers is a soul rest. That ease of mind and heart that comes when the burden of performance has been lifted. And that brings us finally to the relaxation, I call it, from verse number 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, by definition, a yoke is not easy. And a burden is not light. So this seems like a contradiction, an oxymoron even. What does it mean? Well, it simply means that if we exchange our self-centered self-righteousness for the Christ-centered humble service, things will be much easier in our hearts. We will find that we are refreshed, we are soothed, we are energized, our strength is renewed. This heart rest that God offers, we will know it in a very real way. Now let me say this, this is very important, that this heart rest that Jesus offers may or may not be accompanied by physical rest of the body. They tell me that as you get older, your body loses energy. I'll just have to take y'all's word for it. I'm not there yet. They tell me that it's harder to stay rested. It's you don't have the energy to do what you could do at when you were younger. And the fact of the matter is, we live in a body that is limited. And even Jesus Himself got physically tired. Remember that story when they're out on the sea and the storm comes up and the disciples think, oh no, we're going to die. Let's go get Jesus. What was Jesus doing? He was sleeping on a pillow. Why was He sleeping? Because He was tired. Your body may still get tired. By the way, you need to be a good steward of that. You need to take good care of your health as best as you can. And that means getting adequate rest. But at the end of the day, the body is going to wear out. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Paul said, look, my outward man's perishing. I've been shipwrecked. I've been starved. I've gone without proper clothing and horrible weather. And I mean, I have been tired. I am getting worn out. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. The physical was tired and hurting and hungry, but his soul was renewed and refreshed and rested. Why? Because his focus was on God. And God would give him the strength he needed to carry on. He said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Yeah, we're weak. Sometimes when we're tired, we're even weaker. But Paul said, you know what? I will just glory in that because that's an opportunity for God's strength to shine through even more. And he knew that his hardships would be worth it in the end. The payoff was going to be far greater than the investment. He said in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He realized the things that we go through on this earth are just temporary. And there's going to come an end to it all. So rather than wasting time focusing on things that won't last, like the praise of men and our own performance, let's instead focus on things that'll last forever. See, this is the easy yoke and the light burden of the meek and lowly followers of Jesus. You are free from the pressure to perform. And listen, there may be some in here this evening that you may not even realize it, but you have lived for a long time with this idea that you have to perform to please God. That it's up to you to somehow find the strength, to pull yourself together, to somehow achieve all the great things that God has for you. It's your burden. Understand, that is a yoke you cannot bear. God never intended for you to perform to please Him or to please others. God intends for you to take the yoke of Jesus, the yoke of humility, the yoke of meekness, and serve by His grace in humble obedience. Serve God and God alone, and so long as He is pleased and so long as He is praised, then you can rest easy, knowing that you have done God's will for you. It's okay to rest, even as we're striving together. Even as we work hard for the Lord, we need to rest. We don't stop everything and become lazy, but we learn from Jesus and we receive the soul refreshment that He offers through humble, meek service. Stop worrying about what other people think. Stop trying to prove something to others. Stop trying to perform. Start serving God with humility and find rest for your soul. With heads bowed and eyes closed this evening, I don't know who in here in particular needed this message, but I believe that all of us needed it to one degree or another. Because it's so easy for us to slip into performance-driven Christianity. And I want to invite you tonight to come to Jesus and find this rest that He talked about. Come to Jesus and say, "Lord, I am done trying to perform, trying to please others, trying to earn your favor. I want this meekness and lowliness that Jesus talked about that refreshes, that brings rest to the soul." I want to invite you to do that tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us to maintain this very delicate balance of serving You with fervency and in Christ-like intensity, and yet not doing that in the strength of the flesh, but doing that in full dependence on You and Your grace working in us. Deliver us from self-righteousness and self-centeredness. Give us a spirit of Christ-like humility, I pray. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.